Welcome to the Super Gamer Podcast. Welcome to the new Super Gamer Podcast, episode 197. Our guest this week is a musician, a streamer, a speedrunner in bands such as Claymore and Owlbear. Also does solo work, including lo-fi VGM under the name Factory Flora. We have Katie Scary. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So right off the bat, I asked some people who have performed with you what they think of you. Are you ready?
Oh, we're getting like the Nardwar. I would love to hear. I'm looking forward now to hearing like what you're about to pull up, because I don't think anyone, when I do anything like this, has ever mentioned that I have been into speedrunning. So I am hyped now. I'm ready to see where all of this goes.
All right. Well, just some random quotes here. She brings the energy hard in all caps. Professional. Funny enough, the next one was fun and professionally unprofessional. And obviously very talented with a crazy work ethic. So I figured I'd butter you up a bit when we start here.
With all of those, I liked the professionally unprofessional one. I feel like that is legitimately what I strive for. So I'm glad that it has not been viewed as, you know, like just messing around or like not serious or something. That it, to my friends and the people that I've worked with, it is, you know, a clearly calculated move that I'm doing.
So I'm a huge Blind Guardian fan. And I'm also into like Dragon Force and Sonata Arctica, but a little more casually, like Blind Guardian, since I was in high school, I've just adore. So I checked out Owlbear, you know, and obviously loved it. I really dig Fiend of Fire, which is the first song on the album, and I was like, I hope she doesn't think like, oh, well, they only listened to the first song. But I really dig that song. That's really, really good. On Chaos to the Realm, for anyone who wants to listen to it. Clearly some influences, I would say, clearly Judas Priest, and I would say like a Dragon Force influence, I guess it could be like Maiden or something, but I think I read, and I'm embarrassed because I don't remember where I read it, so whoever I'm ripping off, I'm sorry, but I think I read that you kind of started playing nerdy power metal before you knew that was like a thing.
Yeah, like I didn't know the phrase nerdcore or that like across any genre of music that like that was a thing that people, I mean, other than like, you know, Blind Guardian writing about Lord of the Rings and stuff like that, but I had never heard anyone writing about, you know, like anime or video games or things like that. And so in 2012 I put out a song with Claymore called Sector X, and it is just about the Star Fox 64 level Sector X. And then a year after that, I put out a song with Claymore called SR388, and it's about Metroid 2. And yeah, I like, it was still early enough in me like discovering, you know, video game adjacent artists and anything. Like I think at that point in time, like Family Jewels probably only had like, you know, 50,000 subs or something. Like the whole community of this kind of thing was like still very small. So I didn't know that that was a thing that anyone did, was write songs about video games. And it's like definitely become a lot more popular since the, you know, 12 years ago or whatever that I dipped my foot in the water. And it had definitely, you know, I mean, there were people like Mega Ran and stuff like that with like you know, the nerdcore scene and things like that that I was just completely unaware of. I just felt like you know, the premise of Metroid 2 really lent itself very easily to like the theme of a metal song, and like for what do I want to say? Like lyrical themes, it fit in kind of perfectly. And then, you know, I just feel like something about like melodic metal and sci-fi and those things kind of go together. And I was like, oh, we could just like write a song about Star Fox, because I really like that game. And that was really all it was. There was no, you know, not trying, I wasn't trying to like mimic what I had seen other people do. I was just like, you know, lyrically, obviously the musical influences, it's always been the kinds of things that you had just listed with, you know, Judas Priest and Iron Maiden and stuff like that. But yeah, for lyrical inspiration for that kind of stuff, it, yeah, I don't really know what my like jumping point was, like what made me actually go do that. But yeah, so that's been that for a minute now for me.
I have to come clean, since you're talking about Star Fox 64. When I was, I would have been in grade 9 when the N64 came out, and I rented Star Fox 64, and this is totally my fault, but I guess I chose whatever path is like, it's like 4 planets to beat the game, and I beat it, and I was like, this game's terrible. Like, what? I just beat it in like 20 minutes, and I never played it again.
Yeah, it, like, I feel like, because I picked it up when I was probably in, like, third or fourth grade or something, whenever I picked it up. I honestly think that, like, because of how short it is, like, I think it's a game that has aged super well, because, like, as a kid, I was like, this is difficult, and, like, couldn't even, like, get through it the first, like, you know, 10 or so times I attempted it. But, like, now as an adult, it's, like, very cool to just be able to sit down and in, like, 45 minutes just, like, tear through an entire game and like feel like you know really got your time worth out of it, as opposed to, you know, spending like 45 minutes on whatever like 85 hour AAA game like is out there now. I feel like I get a lot more out of it whenever now I can sit down and just tear through a game in an evening.
That is a good point. I should go back to that because yes, now that we are adults, you know, when I see the like selling point of like, you know, 200 hours, I'm like, nope.
Yeah, I'm like, what? That's not for me. Like, I'm like, that sounds crazy, but I'm sure someone will have fun with this.
Yeah. But speaking of those, you know, 85 hour, 200 hour, whatever. So your band, Owlbear, I need to ask, did you play Baldur's Gate 3 and did you save the baby Owlbear?
I still have not played Baldur's Gate 3. Our guitar player, Jeff, I think he either is still playing it or, recently, played through it. But yeah, no, he definitely saved the owlbear.
And, I apologize for the spoiler.
A bit of a funny story. Oh no, trust me, day of, like, now anytime someone sees like an owlbear, whatever, you know, they're messaging me about it and stuff. what was I gonna say? Oh, so the Owlbear album, like, it took us forever to get out. Like, there was just a bunch of things happening, like slowing us down, delays, whatever else. So we had meant to put it out like 2 years earlier. And then when we finally decided when to put it out, we were just like, okay, what's like the nearest Bandcamp Friday? We're like, I guess that's the album release date. But so Baldur's Gate 3 actually got like pushed forward for its release date. So like they dropped on the same day. I don't remember if it was the same day or just the same week, but it was like that first week of August. The Owlbear album came out on August 4th, and Baldur's Gate dropped like within a day or 2 days or something of it. I forget now, but like, yeah, so there were a ton of comments on like the album video on YouTube at the beginning that were like, yeah, I was looking for Baldur's Gate, but like I found this, but like this is very cool. So it like really super worked out for us that Baldur's Gate was actually legitimately just like driving us traffic for like, you know, the first month that the album came out. So we super appreciated that like very accidental coincidence, because you know, we pushed our release date back, they pushed theirs forward. Like, there was no way to plan something like that to be like, oh, maybe we can piggyback off of you know, a D&D game coming out. So we were thrilled. We were very lucky. We were very, very thrilled that that happened for us like that.
That's awesome. What made you choose? I have actually read a write-up that I assume was from a D&D Monsters manual, but what made you choose Owlbear as the D&D creature that you wanted to be named after?
It kind of, honestly fits the vibe of like what you said before about the like professionally unprofessional kind of thing. Like we were just like, yeah, it's a nasty monster. Like that sounds like what a metal band, you know, mascot would be. And we were like, also, it's ridiculous. Like who, like, it, yeah, just the concept of the monster itself. And then, yeah, so we just really, it seemed, what do I want to say? Not like bigger than, or not like, I don't know. It had the sort of, the creature itself just definitely had the sort of like personality, that we were going for, as a metal band. And yeah, then, you know, just a bit of the sense of humor side of being like, it's a ridiculous creature. Like, I don't even know why it exists in the first place. But yeah, so it was basically like, I don't know. It just sort of summed up our mentality also, with the band. 'Cause our concept for it was basically, it's a style of music that like is super ingrained in all of us. Like, you know, we've written a ton of songs, in that style. We've listened to a ton of bands in that style like our whole life. So we were like, we should really just be able to like churn out music for this. Like this process will probably just be as like wild and chaotic like as this creature. And so the whole time we were just like, yeah, this feels like the perfect sort of representation and mascot of, you know, the behind the scenes and then the final product of what it all sounds like.
Cool. So I'm a little embarrassed now because I feel like you're now set up to think that there's some really deep cut coming as far as speed running. Basically, what I know is you do speed running. I know you've at least speed run.
You mentioned it all. Cut. So.
Well, I know that you've speed run Legacy of Goku 2 and Metroid Fusion, and I watched your Metroid Fusion one on Twitch, and I laughed because throughout the whole run, you're just like, this is terrible. Oh, I'm awful. This is, you know, I'm screwing everything up. And then, like, it gets near the end. You're like, oh, this is the run. Oh, yeah, I beat my time. Okay.
Yeah, it probably some of it, because out of context, there was just a couple things that, like, we would all just repeat all the time. Like, the slightest thing would go wrong, and we'd all just be like, well, there goes the run. Like, you know, like, one missile shot on a door would, like, miss or something. Like, you know, an hour in, like, it's not going to affect, like, how well I'd been doing up to that point. But, yeah, I would always just be like, well, there goes the run. And then sometimes I'd, like, fall off a ledge or whatever, and, like, you know, people in the chat would just be like, oh, there goes the run. So I feel like some of the, and also it was like the fourth or fifth attempt, like that night when I like did my personal best. So like it had to have been like after midnight or like 1 a.m. Like I was definitely like just tired and like not having it. And so, yeah, I was definitely super thrilled by the end of it. Because I had also been playing the game like literally every single day. Like I had been streaming it, I want to say like four out of five days, you know. And because my goal was just to get into the top 100 on like the speedrun.com leaderboard, which now I'm not, because that was like 3 years ago and more people have tried it. So I think I'm like 130 or something. I looked the other day out of curiosity, but yeah, so yeah, I haven't done it too seriously since then. But yeah, I'm sure it was a very I'm sure there was very colorful dialogue in the video that you watched with me finally getting it after. And I'm pretty sure the video starts with Pat Gunderslam being like, oh, did you like start yet? And I'm like, yeah, man, first run of the night. And we were like four or five runs deep into it. But yeah, it was, I want to get back to doing that kind of stuff in the relatively near future. But
have you been speed running anything? And if you were to get back into it, like is Fusion what you'd go to, or is there something else?
I haven't recently because I have, thankfully, I've had so much cool music stuff happening that adding another thing on top of it like that would just be like, for once I can recognize that would be too much for me to be doing. I have a really bad gauge for that normally, and just overload myself on too many projects and too many collabs, but it's because I want to do all of them because they all seem like good ideas. They all seem fun and they're all, you know, with people that I like. So I'm like, yeah, of course I need to do that. And it's, you know, like the 15th thing I've agreed to in the last like 6 weeks or whatever. But yeah, I think if and when I go back to it, it'll definitely at least start with Metroid Fusion. I used to do F-Zero also. Like the original Super Nintendo one.
Yeah, and then, I've got that downstairs.
Hell yeah. but like, yeah, and then F-Zero 99 came out, and I was like, I should really get back to this. And then, yeah, I was just so busy. Moved within the last year. Like, I, you know, finally got the Owlbear album out after, like, 4 years. But, yeah, so it was like, I have had... Again, thankfully, so much stuff going on that I haven't had a chance to get back to streaming on Twitch. But, like, yeah, I'm hoping once I, like, manage to manage my time a little better, I'm hoping to get back to speedrunning something. Maybe F-Zero, probably Metroid Fusion.
Little plug for myself. I do have a parody song of F-Zero. It's I Need a Hero, but it's about Captain Falcon in F-Zero. you mentioned collabs there. Speaking of collabs, someone you have collabed with at MAGFest, I've heard tell that you were rocking so hard, you sang so hard at MAGFest, it redlined your bandmates in your monitors and just like destroyed their eardrums.
Yeah, that's what I found out later. So I felt like a little bad making fun of them on stage for like fucking one of the songs up. But because then later he's just like, yeah, I had nothing to go off of. And I was like, oh, my bad, man. Yeah, that was I want to say it was because during the like sound check and stuff, we like plugged all our stuff in, and then I think they had us like unplug it before our set and then plug it back in. So like some of the stuff just reset. So we were trying to like very on the fly right before we had to start playing, adjust some of the monitor levels and things. So I probably just like, you know, kept saying more me too many times, and you know, probably a fader in the wrong spot got moved. And I just, you know, blew out the in-ears for our drummer, Rocky. So that was my bad, I guess. I think. I don't know.
Well, I will say, I guess I'm getting a little more specific than I planned here. I will say it was not Rocky who told me that. But...
Was it Mark?
But Rocky did tell me that one of his fondest memories of you is when he did a ba-dum-tsh, and you were like, don't patronize me.
Oh, yeah, that was we played a gaming convention in Pittsburgh, where I'm from. Actually, it's just called Pittsburgh Gaming Expo. But yeah, so that was back then. Yeah, I played a couple shows with that group of guys. But yeah, he really got a kick out of the response to the rim shot, because he was just like, no one has ever like paid attention that I have done it after they're talking.
I need to know more about your cigarette sunglasses.
I would love to tell you all about them. What is the...
I don't know, like, where are they from? How do they exist?
So in 2018 or 2017, I think it was 2018, but my friend Alex, who actually has like filmed most of my YouTube videos for me, so if you have seen pretty much anything on the Claymore channel in the last 3 years, odds are it was Alex who filmed it. But so we went to this Halloween party in like 2018, and he decided that he was gonna be Lady Gaga from the Telephone video. I think it's the one where she's in prison. I think that's Telephone. I don't remember now, because now I just say they're the Lady Gaga glasses, like, when I need to explain what they're actually from. But yeah, so in that video, she had still, like, currently burning cigarette shutter shades that she was wearing. And so for Alex's Halloween costume, he had those, he made them for it. And he also didn't know anyone that smoked cigarettes, so he just had to, like, go buy a pack of cigarettes, like, just to do this. But yeah, and so then, like, two-ish years later, I think, he was, like, cleaning out some of his, like, old stuff, like, back at his parents' house, and I had, like, messaged him. I don't remember why I actually wanted them. Oh, I just wanted them to wear, like, on stage for a minute. You cannot see out of them, also. Like, you are completely blind when you're wearing them. But for whatever reason, I wanted to wear them on stage, so I, like, messaged him about it, and he was like, I was literally about to throw them out. Like, they are sitting on top of a garbage can lid. If you want them, like, you can, like, stop by my parents' house and grab them. And I was like, absolutely. And yeah, he also is still shocked to, like, see them intact and in videos, like, you know, 5 years after, like, 6 or 7 years after he made them, and then, like, 5 years after he was going to throw them out because there was no need for them to exist anymore. But yeah, I just think they're so ridiculous. I try to use them whenever I can, but, you know, the opportunities are fairly minimal, because you cannot see. If I have to, like, move at all with them, I am staring, like, straight down at the ground, just trying to, like, make sure I don't trip over anything. But yeah, that's the deep lore of the cigarette shutter shades.
I love it. Your music videos, you filmed Battle Against a True Hero, an Undertale cover. You filmed the video at Retrograde Collectibles, a local gaming store. I want to know, like, how that conversation, like, did you know the people, or did you approach them, like, hey, this will be good for your business, or?
Yeah, so I had known the guy that runs the store. His name's also Alex, and he also helps run Pittsburgh Gaming Expo, which is also what helped me get me and Gunderslam and those guys onto that event. But yeah, Alex has owned a game store. It's been in a couple different locations, like, over the last 6, 7, 8 years or something like that. But, yeah, I just, you know, I thought it'd be cool to, you know, change up the background from just either filming on a black backdrop like everyone has gone back to doing recently, or, you know, just, like, filming in front of the computer, whatever, whatever the stereotypical YouTube guitar playthrough videos look like now. And I knew that I was going to be doing, like, a full album of material. So I was like, oh, I could just get all of those songs ready, and we could just go to the location, ask him if we can just, like, you know, come over after the shop closes, hang out for, like, 4 or 5 hours or whatever, and knock out these videos all in one swoop. And then, you know, I thought it'd be cool to, like, have a sort of cohesive thing, so, like, when you see, you know, the next video from that album uploaded, it's like, oh, it's in the same place. So I just like the continuity and changing things up for the filming location, but which I've tried to do whenever possible, like, as much as I can, you know, like, filming in the woods, or I did a couple pizza tower covers, so, like, I'm filming in my kitchen and we're, like, making food and stuff like that. So,
and you burn the pizza.
We sure did. Yeah, so actually, if you've seen that video, the guy that is cooking the food, that is Alex that made the Lady Gaga glasses, but which I think is, like, the added reason why I'm wearing them in one or more of those videos, just to mess with him. But yeah, so, yeah, I had known the guy that owned the game store for at least, like, half a decade. And, yeah, I just shot him a message and was like, hey, man, like, here's my thing. And he's, like, real big into the stuff that we've done, even with, like, the lo-fi stuff and the metal. So he's been real cool and supportive about all of those things. So, yeah, he had no problem letting the three of us hang out in his store while he you know, did inventory or whatever closing up things he had to do for the day. But yeah, so that was real cool of him. I was real glad that we got to do those videos.
Is there a responsible way to headbang? Because when I was younger, you know, I like headbanged hard and I really messed up my neck. Like, and now if I like try to headbang, it's like immediately I'm like, oh, no.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I need to remember to like, you know, massage my neck or something before doing that kind of stuff. Cause yeah, it's the threshold for messing yourself up gets a lot lower the older that you get. But so I was also really glad that whenever we played PGX and we played at MAGFest, and then in 2 weeks or in a week from now, whenever we play at Chicago, Rocky is a massage therapist. So like sometimes I would just be like, hey man, my neck is like really killing me, and he would just take like 15 seconds to like rub exactly where he knew he needed to on my neck, and I would be like, oh, it is like completely fine now. Like I'm like I don't know what you did, but like it's like I never had the problem at all. So the extra added skills that some people bring to a music actor sometimes equally as valuable as the musicianship.
I did see you post, you know, I'm never doing a convention again without a massage therapist. It's funny, I would argue a drummer already is so essential and so hard to find. Like, we didn't need the added massage therapy part.
Yeah, he doesn't really need to, like, sell the package any harder. Like, it's not like, oh, I don't know, there's so many drummers we can pick from, whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, no, because I was sleeping on an air mattress, like, on the ground at MAGFest and stuff. And, yeah, the vibe of MAGFest was just like off this year. There was something about the air, like it was so dry and like so cold, like I was just uncomfortable like the entire time. And then like my whole band like caught COVID at some point during it, so then like coming home, like we all just like felt like shit, and we were like, ah, we're probably just tired from, you know, doing all that stuff. And then like we all got home and took a COVID test, and we were like, oh, that is like why we're so exhausted. But yeah, so MAGFest was just beating my ass the whole time, so it was like very cool that Rocky was there and, you know, would make sure that I didn't break my neck headbanging or whatever else was going on.
Have you played Super Mario RPG yet?
I have not, because I just didn't have enough extra funds lying around. Was really it. Like, too many games came out like in a 2 month span, and I grabbed too many of them, and then I never ended up actually picking up the remake, but I did, oh my god, what's it called, I did just recently, because I felt like playing some kind of Mario RPG, I tried picking up what is it, like Superstar Saga, because it's on the Switch Online, on the Game Boy Advance. So I was like, this will scratch that itch for me right now with the like Paper Mario-esque Super Mario RPG vibes.
Well, part of what I found so interesting about, because you do a cover of the Forest song, I can't remember the actual name of it.
Yes, Beware the Forest Mushrooms.
Right, which is a great song. But you had mentioned, you said, oh, I've actually never played Super Mario RPG. But you've also said, and I found this interesting, Paper Mario was maybe the first RPG you really fell in love with. And that's like the spiritual successor of Super Mario RPG.
Right, yeah. And I, you know, at the time, because I played Paper Mario like right when it came out. So I was like 8 or 9 or something. But yeah, so I didn't have a huge knowledge of, like, you know, where games were pulling different elements from or whatever. But yeah, so I just picked up Paper Mario, and I don't remember if shortly after I played Paper Mario or if it was like right before I had played Paper Mario, but I had played the first Final Fantasy on like the Dawn of Souls remake for the Game Boy Advance, and I had really liked it. And yeah, like it was, I, you know, had not really experienced what an RPG outside of like Pokemon Red version or whatever, you know. But yeah, so I picked up Paper Mario and I was like, this is everything I like about these kinds of games. So yeah, I like, at the time I you know, didn't even understand what an RPG was, to even be like, oh, there is a Super Mario RPG. If I like this kind of stuff, I can just go back and play it. But yeah.
Well, when you do play it, because in that same sentence, breath, whatever, where you said, oh, I haven't played it yet. You mentioned, like, oh, maybe I'll, something along the lines of, like, I'll finally understand the Geno hype. And when you understand that, tell me, because I love that game and played it when it came out and loved it then, and I have never understood the Geno hype. He's just fine.
That's, again, that is probably most of what I, like, actually knew about the game was, like, when Smash Bros. Was like, oh, it's time for, like, crowd votes or whatever, you know, like, who should we put in the game? And, yeah, people were, like, going crazy for him, and I was like, who is this character? Like, I didn't even know he was a character from that game. Like, yeah, so that's honestly probably most of what I know about Mario RPG. Is it's an RPG, and people went ballistic for Geno.
Yeah, it's crazy. I just, one of those where I was like, oh, I didn't know this was a thing. Okay. Can you tell us about your lift story, your karaoke lift story?
Oh my God, what? I can. What? Yeah, so to make like a really long story short, because this was like a 10-hour odyssey, but in 2018, I drove for Lyft, and these really drunk people basically got into the wrong car, my car. And I also want to clarify, I asked them before they got in. Like, I was like, is this you? Is this the car you're looking for? And they were like, yep, it is. And I was like, all right, cool. So then, yeah, like, we're driving down the road, and, like, it's probably, like, 2 minutes later, and one of them gets a call. And is like, what do you mean you're the Lyft? Like, we're in the Lyft. And then, like, my phone starts ringing, and it's, like, from Lyft. And I was like, oh, I know what happened. I was like, we picked up the wrong people. Okay. And so I, like, told them. I was like, yeah, you guys are in the wrong car. Like, and they're like, oh, shit, I'm sorry. And I was like, yeah, so, like, you gotta, like, get out. Like, I have to go back to, like, doing what I'm actually supposed to be doing. And they were like, we're just going like 5 minutes down the road, like 5 minutes. Like I have cash, like I'll give you like $10. And I was like, you know what? That sounds fine. Like whatever. And then they're like talking about this place that they're going to. It's like whatever dive bar thing, but they're like super excited about it. And they're like, oh, you should like hang for a bit. Like we'll buy you a beer. And I was like, I'm driving, like my job is driving a car. Like I'm gonna hang out and drinking with you guys. Like, what are you talking about? And but they were like, no, come on, just like hang out for a bit. I was like, you guys don't even know. Like, why do you want to hang out? Like, we don't know each other. Like, this is super strange. and so, but yeah, so like we get to this dive bar and they're like, all right, like here's the money. They're like, do you want to hang out? And I was like, you know what, guys? Like, why not? I was like, this is so strange. Like, sure, whatever. But yeah, and so, as an aside in that story, we're walking towards the bar and it was two guys and two girls, and the girls the guys like went in first, and the girls had like hung back for a second and like were saying something to me, and they were like, yeah, we like just met these guys tonight. Like, I thought everyone in this group like knew each other and that was like part of it. I don't fucking know. But and then they're like, yeah, I honestly like kind of feel better that like you're coming to hang out with us. And I was like, you don't know me either. Like, what are you talking about? Like, yeah, so that was just very strange. But so we like got into the bar and they're like, all right, here's your beer. And they're like, you know, we're talking to each other about whatever. And it was a karaoke bar. And they were like, oh, let's do karaoke. And they were like, oh, Lyft driver, you should do karaoke. And I was like, no, I'm good. And they were like, oh, no, come on, you should do karaoke. Because like they don't know anything about me. They didn't know that I could sing. So I'm right. Like, no. Like, I'm good. Like, don't. And they were like, come on. I was like, give me $20 and I will go sing a song for karaoke. And they're like, oh, I don't have cash anymore. Like, after what I gave you, but like I can just buy you a second beer. And I was like, fine. So I was like, I guess I'm just hanging out for a while. Like, I guess I'm not going back to like driving for Lyft tonight. But yeah, so I was like hanging out with them there, and it was my turn to do karaoke. And I went up to the guy in charge of it. And he was like, what do you want to sing? And I was like, I don't know. Do you have like anything by Iron Maiden? And he was like, I will have the hits. And I was like, they had zero hits, dude. So like, just show me the list. Like, I don't like whatever. But yeah, so then I sang Ace is High by Iron Maiden at this like redneck karaoke bar And yeah, the people that I drove there were losing it like the entire time, like could not believe, because, you know, they didn't know anything about me. They didn't know it was going to be good. And they didn't know what I was going to pick. But so then after that, they were just like, holy shit, like, this is great. Like, yeah, I'll buy you another drink. And I was like, I'm definitely not going anywhere after that. Like, I was like, well, this has solidified it. But so like once they were done hanging out there, they were like, yo, let's go to the yacht club. And I was like, all right, weird. Not where I thought we were going to go after this. And basically, I found out that the one guy in the group just lived on a yacht. Like, that was just his house. So
wow.
He like lived at the yacht club. And then we hung out on his yacht later. But the final point that I actually wanted to get to with it was like, so now they're like, oh, you're like into metal, like whatever. Like, they like now know that. They're like, oh, you're a vocalist in a metal band. Like, you do that kind of stuff. So we get to the next bar at the yacht club, and They're like, yo, like, turn off whatever this music is, and like point to me, and they're like, whatever they want to listen to, like, that's what we're listening to. And I was like, okay. And the bartender's like, oh, all right. And because I was just kind of strange. But so they're like, what do you want to listen to? And I was like, can you put on Jolene?
Yeah.
He was like, the Dolly Parton song? And I was like, yes. And he was like, I mean, yeah, I can. And so then that's what we listened to while we drank like gross like $3 American domestic beers. Yeah. So and that was how like that part wrapped up, was they're like, oh, like, this person's a metal singer, like, let's listen to whatever they want. And I was like, I want to listen to Dolly Parton, guys. They're like, hell yeah, we'll do it. I was like, all right. But yeah, it was a very strange evening. Yeah.
That is quite a story. I went to PAX East in Boston in 2019, 2020, I can't remember. Right at the start of COVID, but walking to the hotel, and I noticed, oh, there's actually karaoke, like, right across the street, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going, you know, I'm just by myself, and I did a Misfits song, and this guy came up, and I think he thought he was being complimentary, but he's like, oh, it's really good to know what's in your range. I was like, okay. So, like, he was trying to say, like, I did well, but, like, he was saying, like, yeah, that's, you know, that really suits you or whatever. So then later I went up and did Queen, and then he came up after, and he's so apologetic. He's like, oh, yeah, oh, sorry, you can do, like, more than that.
He's like, oh, it turns out, like, you knew your own range better than me, the random man at the karaoke bar. Who would have guessed?
Okay, I got a couple more. I've kept you for too long. I'm sorry.
All good. These have not been the questions I've been expecting, so I'm having a great time.
Oh, excellent. Well, this one, please tell me if this is too personal, but and we won't use it. But you have at least some form of synesthesia. And
yeah, don't even tell me. I don't even want to know where you're pulling the information. I do, but yeah. So continue. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm curious, like, because I don't really know how that works. I mean, I understand that it's like one sense kind of like bleeds into another. So, like, when you're like playing video games, do you like associate it with like a smell or something? Or like, how does that work?
For me, because there's synesthesia and there's another word that is like similar to, like, it's a similar sort of thing. But I forget like what the... what the actual like classification that like makes them two different things. But so I'm not even sure if I'm going to be describing synesthesia or the other one. But for me, it's just that like I have like color associations with certain things. And so for me, it's like, you know, like numbers have a color association, or like letters have a color association. And then like through that, like, you know, some words have a color association. And so like then also like some songs have a color association to them for me. And so it's sort of just like, I don't know, there was like the internet discourse like a bit ago about like, oh, can you visualize the apple or whatever? So for music, for me, basically like when I'm hearing stuff, it's not it's not like, oh, you played a G minor chord, I recognize that, it's this color for me. Like, it's not like that, but it'll just be like a song overall or something. We'll just it basically, like, in my mind's eye, where I could see an apple, it's sort of just like the old Windows Media Player visualizers, just like, you know, amorphous whatever sort of things, like in specific shades of color for different songs. But I legitimately think that it helped me with songwriting whenever I was starting out, like in high school. I legitimately credit it with, like, not making us sound like you know, a group of 16-year-olds were trying to write music for the first time, because, like, whatever it was about it, like, I think it just gave me a better sense of, like, oh, these things go together. Like, this is a good way to, like, end this, to end this section or this riff or, like, whatever. Like, it all really, when we were doing stuff, I definitely had a sense, like, in my head of, like, oh, this all locks together. Like, this is a coherent, like, the vibe has not changed, you know what I mean? Like, whenever it, like, started as something, I was like, oh, yeah, it's giving me, like, this kind of vibe to it. And then, like, you know, someone would suggest an idea and it, like, you know, would have a different, like, color association or whatever. Like, it didn't feel like it blended together with the other thing. Like, on that level of, like, in my head, like, whatever visuals are coming up to me, I was like, these are clashing. Like, we're not going to use that. Like, we need to come up with something else that, like, that vibes in my in-house Windows Media Player visualizer in my brain. But yeah, so that's what it is for me. It's like color association with words, and then like sounds, sort of like conjuring images and color palettes and things like that in my head.
Last thing I'll ask about, you are planning to release several VGM lo-fi albums this year. You have released Music to Crash Your Boat To, and I really love the I can't even remember the name now, the da-na-na, da-na-na-na, the Windfish, right?
Oh, yeah, Ballad of the Windfish.
Yeah, love it. But I know you're planning that. What else, or you can tell us about that. What's coming up, basically, for Katie Scary this year?
So the plan, which will, you know, be adjusted every day as I realize it's way too much stuff. But it was, get that one, the Music to Crash Your Boat To, the Link's Awakening, lo-fi remix album, get that one out. So that has been handled. There was a three song cover EP that I did with Owlbear that, the Music Trash Your Boat To was in April. The Owlbear EP was in March. And then in February, I had started working on... I have a bunch of... if you, like, look at my Spotify page for Factory Flora, like, a bunch of the top songs are, like, from collaborative albums that I've done with a couple other people. And so, like, in February, they had messaged me to... be a part of more of those albums, so like those will be trickling out throughout the year. I have like one or two songs on a couple, I think it's like four total now or something, but what am I trying to say? I like have some guest spots on other people's albums in addition to my own stuff. I am working on another lo-fi album right now. And since we already mentioned the game by name, I'll just say what it is, but it's all the original Paper Mario remixes, because I did a couple on an album last year that was called Lo-Fi 64, where I just did lo-fi remixes all from like the Nintendo 64. Who would have guessed with that name? But and the Paper Mario ones did like what, like I thought they were like gonna be like too obscure or something. Like I never see people talking about like Paper Mario music or like whatever, so I did those and they did like really well for me, so I was like, I should do more of these, and I like that game and I like that soundtrack, so I am hoping that is the next thing that I do, like that is released from me. I have like a third of it done already, so it's looking promising that it'll it'll be out in the next couple months. But then also we're right now like trying to finalize stuff for the second Owlbear album, like full album of original music. We have like pretty much everything demoed out, so after we play at this festival in Chicago next week, like we are hopefully gonna sit down and like, you know, figure out what loose ends we all have to tie up with our stuff before we give like completed demos to all the rest of the band members for all of us to record our individual parts and stuff like that. And then I am hoping to put out something with my band Claymore. I'm trying to do like a split album of like half original music, half covers, legitimately just so that Spotify classifies it as an album and doesn't bury it under the like 900 singles that I've put out from doing like VGM covers for 3 years, because Spotify classifies a single and an EP as the same thing. So I don't really want to spend time like finally putting out an EP of original music and then like 2 months later it is like buried in my Spotify releases by like, you know, the next six singles or whatever that I put out after that. So yeah, those are my grandiose plans for 2024. Is I already got the one lo-fi album, one Owlbear EP, and I'm hoping for a second lo-fi album, an Owlbear album, and then I guess technically a Claymore album, an EP worth of originals and an EP worth of cover songs. So yes, that is hopefully everything that is coming down the pipe just for me, not including like whatever collabs and stuff like that that I happen to be a part of throughout the rest of the year.
Well, as you mentioned, people can find Claymore and Owlbear and Katie Scary on Spotify. KatieVScary.bandcamp.com. That's KatyVScary. And Patreon.com/KatieScary. Anywhere else you want people to find you?
I think that's really it. Especially just like with the Spotify one, if you just look up Katie Scary, it should. I like put that name onto 99% of the things that I release. So if you're ever just wondering like, oh, did I miss something that like you've put out? Odds are, if you just go to the Katie Scary Spotify page, like that's the hub, you know.
Katie Scary, thank you so much.
Thank you.